Amen. Wonderful. How blessed we are. John 17 tonight. For a little while, let's look here in the Word of God. This is one of the most sacred texts, passages. I know we got to be careful maybe to elevate one text of Scripture above another. It's all sacred. It's all God's Word. But in my opinion, as far as reading the Scripture, I don't know that there's more of a sacred scene to behold and passage to read from than John 17 out of the King James Bible. I preach from it on several occasions. One of these days, I'd like to preach it line by line. It's just so wonderful to hear the Lord Jesus pray. And we want to look at that this evening. I'm not going to preach all of it. And I'm not going to go maybe the way you think I'll go. Just let me kind of work my way there. If you want to stand with us, willing and able to do so. If you're not, it's fine. But if you're willing and able, we want to begin reading in verse number 13. We're jumping right in the middle of this prayer that Jesus is making to the Heavenly Father. Here's what he said. And now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me in the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, listen what Jesus said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I want to preach tonight. I'll go ahead and give you my thought on this matter. And just bear with me. Let me kind of lay it out. I want to try to encourage the church for a moment. And then I want to maybe kind of preach along the lines of the home again tonight. But I want to preach on, this thought tonight. Jesus' prayer for his bride. Jesus' prayer for his bride. You can be seated tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus again. We know tonight, Lord, as much as we needed your help this morning, it's a new service, a new message, a new opportunity to exercise the calling of God upon our life. And Lord, if we've ever needed you, we need you one more time to do what you've set us to do. And I pray now this evening as we've read this text, may it burn in our midst and come alive among us this evening so that, Lord Jesus, could be seen and that, Lord, our lives could be spiritually edified and that, Lord, we could receive the instruction you have for us tonight. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we can't do anything. Lord, if you don't help us. And so, Lord, you know our heart tonight is to be a help and a blessing. Lord, if we can't do anything without you, Lord, we can't do that, Lord, for these that are here tonight. So take us and preach us and, Lord, use us beyond ourselves. And I pray for those on the sound, the hearing of the Word of God tonight would be encouraged And Lord, would be help that, Lord, somehow you'd put it in their heart to be attentive tonight. Lord, to Lord, listen in a way as we preach this morning, how we hear, may it be in line with what you'd want us to do. And Lord, may we hold fast those things that you give, Lord, the church tonight. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Again, we come to this sacred chapter and text, what we have come to know is the high priestly prayer of Jesus in communion with the Heavenly Father. And some have said that when the Lord sat down and gave instruction to the disciples about prayer, that has been called the Lord's Prayer. Many called it the Lord's Prayer. Thy, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And give us day by day our daily bread. Y'all know the prayer that is oftentimes referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's a model prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. In fact, that's only a prayer that Jesus can instruct us to give and tell us to give. It's not a prayer that Jesus Christ himself can pray. In that prayer, there is the confession of sin and the request of forgiveness, and trespasses are involved in that model prayer, and our Savior had none. And so we're thankful this evening for the model prayer that gives you and I instruction on how to pray. John 17, I would argue tonight, is indeed the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that only Jesus could have prayed in the context in which it was prayed, as the eternal Son of God, having for 33 and a half years been separated, if I can use it that way, from the Father, as the Father was in heaven, Jesus' ministry being on earth, is a prayer in which we see the heartbeat of the Savior as he communes with the Father about this unity and glorification of the Son of God that is getting ready to be had after 33 and a half years apart. And this is a priestly prayer, as Jesus Christ is the high priest. And Brother Mike has been dealing with that out of the book of Hebrews the last several Sunday school hours that we've had, that he is the fulfillment of the priesthood so far as our salvation goes. And we find that in John 17 and a lot of things that we could say about the communion that the Son had with the Father here in this wonderful text. But much of the request, as we have read it tonight, beginning in verse number 13 and following, deals with the Lord's Prayer for his own. In fact, we began in verse number 13. Here's what Jesus said: "And now come out of thee, and these things I speak in the world." And he's beginning to approach the Father, particularly and in particular, about the specific needs that his church is going to have. Interesting phrase is used. I want to draw out of verse number 9, where he said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me." There was a sense of belonging and possession in the heart and the mind of Jesus concerning these that were his disciples, that were the church, that were his own, these that he said the Father had given him. We would think about, or at least in my mind, pondering this text in recent weeks, I am mindful this is similar language to that Adam used to refer to Eve, his bride. Adam said in Genesis chapter number 3, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me." And Adam acknowledged that his bride had been given him by the Father, by God. It was a divine gift and a divine giving that God had brought this bride unto Adam. And what a picture she is, even in herself, of the church and her construction and the making of that first bride in the Word of God. And here Jesus uses that similar language in speaking of his own, of his bride, of the church, that these are those that the Father had given to the Son. And so Jesus is speaking and praying in John 17 for his bride that is you and I, his church tonight. I think about this prayer, Jesus' prayer for his bride. This evening I see in this prayer the encouragement of the prayer. The encouragement of the prayer to think that Jesus has prayed for you and I, his church. What a blessing it is that this record is divinely preserved and kept for time and eternity for you and I to reflect upon that. And our Savior, our Jesus, he has been known to have prayed for his church. This evening, that encourages me, no matter where we are, and a lot of things we'll see tonight that Jesus prayed about concerning his church and his bride. You and I, when trouble comes and when needs are had and when maybe there's strife and contention, maybe when we feel like we're suffering our way through the world, we can go to John 17 and be encouraged and blessed tonight to read again that our Savior has prayed for you and I. Has that not blessed you tonight in moments of darkness and despair? When depression creeps in and anxiety maybe feels like that it's at an all-time high, when it looks like everything around us is crumbling around, we can pause for a moment and go back in time through the Word of God and be encouraged to know that Jesus has prayed for us. I see the encouragement of the prayer. Number two, quickly, I see the enduring of the prayer. And simply by that, I mean this, that this prayer was prayed 2,000 years ago. But this prayer was effectual, and this prayer is still being answered all these thousands of years later. This prayer was not uttered from the lips of the Lord, and then they just fall, these words of this prayer did not just fall to the ground. Oh no, friend, these words were ascended up into the throne room of the Father. And the Father heard those prayers, and that prayer was effectual on that night that Jesus prayed it. And this prayer tonight has endured the test of time so that this 2,000-year-old prayer is still as effective as it's ever been. And is being answered all these years later, though generations have come and gone, and the history of the church, be it known, the things that she's faced and endured, the highs and the lows, the mountains and the valleys, the good days, the bad days, the days of blessing and the days of burden. Yet, tonight we're a new generation, and we ponder tonight that this prayer was not just made for the apostles and the church, the early church in the book of Acts. But Jesus said in this prayer, I'm not just praying for these that I've been given in my earthly ministry. I'm praying for those that shall believe on me hereafter. And so it's an enduring prayer. It's a prayer that, my friend, is still effective on your behalf and on my behalf, for your family and for my family tonight. Ain't you thankful for the enduring prayer of John 17, the encouragement of the prayer, the endurance of the prayer. Tonight, I want to settle in on this thought a little different angle. I don't know I've ever heard anybody deal with it this way, but I want to consider tonight the ensample of the prayer of John 17. The ensample tonight of this prayer as we follow the pattern here of the Lord's Prayer for his bride. I believe tonight we can learn better how to pray for our own. And the connection I've already made, won't remake that point tonight, but the connection here that Christ is praying for his bride, praying for that one and those that the Father had given him to be his church and his bride. As I consider this tonight, what an example and an ensample, that what a pattern for me to follow as a husband, that I might know how to pray for my own bride. And tonight I want to make this statement by way of introduction, and we'll jump into it.
But I believe tonight we should pray often for our spouse. I believe, and it's been said, the home that prays together stays together. And I believe that's important. I believe that's an important challenge, especially and maybe particularly in a Christian home and a home where both husband and wife are saved, that marriage needs to be safeguarded through praying for one another. Tonight, I believe the husband ought to pray for his wife. I believe the wife ought to pray for her husband. Amen. And I believe that's right. And I believe Jesus is setting an example, especially to the husband in particular. That's the main way. I guess there'll be a lot of ways this can be applied tonight, even to the wives that are in the midst of the service tonight. Amen. This works on either side, I suppose. This evening, Jesus teaches us the importance of our prayer for our marriage and for our spouse. I don't know of anything greater I could do for Miss Kate or that Miss Kate could do for me than to know and have confidence that we're praying for each other. And I understand tonight across the land and in many churches, even our own, and there are those that are here tonight, you wish you had a spouse that talked to God and prayed, and you wish that you had one that, I'm not preaching this tonight to bring up any kind of sour feelings or points of bitterness or frustration this evening. I'm just preaching what God has laid on my heart tonight about praying for, amen, our spouse tonight, learning from Jesus' prayers for his bride, how that you and I could pray concerning that one that we're wedded to tonight. So let me give you several considerations tonight. It's not alliterated, and it's really simple this evening. I may be embarrassed how simple it is, but just give you some points to ponder tonight out of John 17. Consider with me, first of all, in verse number 13, that Jesus prayed for the joy of his bride. The joy of his bride. This is what he said in verse number 13, "And now come out of thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they," that's speaking of the church, that his bride might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Tonight, to think that Jesus is interested to the point he has made a prayer for our joy. He doesn't want us living our life sad. He doesn't want us living our life grieved. He doesn't want us as his bride, the church, living in bitterness, sad, with the mully grubs, with, amen, just despair all around. Jesus said, "Father, I think what I would ask of you and desire of you for my bride is that she would know joy in the world in which she's lived at." We think about the world in which we live tonight. There's so much sadness. There's so many things that are points of burden and despair and darkness that would seem to steal all joy out of life. And yet tonight we ponder to think about our Savior has prayed for our joy. And I say tonight we ought to pray for the joy of our bride. Ought to pray for the joy of your husband tonight. This word joy, it's maybe not what we think about just in terms of happiness, but really joy tonight can be defined as the exhilaration of spirits. Gladness, just simply gladness. Jesus is praying that we would know something about gladness, that things would go well in our life, or that we'd be in tune to that of the Spirit of God, that excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by maybe success and the gratification of some point of desire. Tonight, when we think about praying as Jesus prayed for his bride, I think maybe we ought to make a point of saying, "Lord, help my wife and help my husband to know joy in this world that we're living in." And let's be honest, our marriages go through seasons of difficulty, and life itself, as we make our way through life, brings a lot of things that maybe would be opposing to joy and gladness, and that excitement and exhilaration of our spirit. But tonight I believe it would be appropriate to say, Lord, in the midst of every distraction and every burden, may you help us to find, would you help my spouse find that joy that is found in Jesus by the fruit of the Spirit being manifest in their life. You see, that's where joy comes from tonight. Joy, my friend, is not in the new house and the new car and the new job and all the things that we would focus in on that maybe brings a moment of happiness and pleasure, but really a Christian home and then a Christian marriage and then a Christian life. Joy can be had when everything is falling apart, when nothing looks like it's going to be well. Hey man, the child of God can know a measure of joy in Jesus Christ by walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Hey man, have you ever prayed that for your wife or for your husband? That the Lord would put a joy, that spiritual joy and exhilaration down in their lives. So many homes and marriages, they're lived out beating and banging and fussing and fighting and no joy in that marriage at all. Can I just challenge us tonight, maybe if we pray more for the joy of our spouse, rather than to seek our own, maybe that would help a marriage, amen, become what the Lord would, amen, desire and design for that to be. Amen, I believe that, listen, I believe this with all my heart. Amen, me and Miss Kate, we've had plenty of fusses and fights along the way. Amen, and amen, been a lot of times I probably robbed her of her joy. Amen, being a knucklehead and a bonehead, amen. And yet we've tried to maintain a home and a marriage, amen, that wasn't dominated by despair and grief, but it's been dominated by joy and seeking the joy and the, amen, the gladness of one another. And, amen, it's amazing. The more I pray for her joy, the more I want to be a part of that joy. And, amen, bring something into that marriage that, amen, would bring her joy. And I think there's something to that tonight. I don't dare, amen, try to drive this home anymore. But, amen, Jesus prayed for the joy of his bride. You ever pray for the joy of your spouse tonight? Amen, maybe tomorrow you get up and you've been thinking, amen, I wish he or she would, amen, put a smile on their face. You ever prayed about it? Ever said, Lord, would you help them? Evidently, they're carrying something and going through something and have something on them that's just a burden and a distraction. Lord, would you help them and just give them a little bit of joy down in their heart? Amen. Maybe that'd change things before next weekend. Amen. He prayed for the joy of his bride. Number two, quickly tonight, he prayed for the protection of his bride. In verse 14 and 15, we read it tonight. Amen. Just simply verse 15, he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You remember Jesus had already testified to these disciples, amen, in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have, amen, hard times in the world. And now as we listen to him pray for his bride, ain't it a blessing tonight to hear him pray? And though we're going to have tribulation, and he has prayed that we would be protected from the evil. Amen. The evil that he asked the Father to keep us from is in regard to things that are hurtful. That's literally what the idea of evil means, things that are hurtful. And it has a wide range of applications tonight. And I won't go into all of those. There's a spiritual application and a lot of ways it can be applied. No doubt that Jesus has in mind. But figuratively, it speaks of things calamitous, things that are a calamity, such as illness and disease. I thought about that in praying for our spouse as Jesus prayed for his bride. Then we ought to make that a point of prayer that God would put a hedge of protection around their spouse and keep them healthy and well. I understand tonight Amen. If we don't live long enough to see Jesus come back, we all got to go by way of the grave. If we don't go by way of the rapture and that, it probably means we're going to get a sickness and a disease or something's going to happen. But I think there's something about praying for our bride. Ladies, I think there's something about praying for your husband. And we ought to incorporate, Lord, put a protection on them. And help them and protect them from illness and disease. And should it come, Lord, keep them from the evil of it being destroyed in heart or in soul by that has afflicted their body. Amen. He prayed for the protection of his bride. A lot we could preach there tonight. I thought about this, number three tonight, for joy and protection. But Jesus' prayer for his bride, he prayed for the sanctification of his bride. Now, I really got challenged on this point, Brother Larry. As Jesus said in verses 16 through 19, he'd say a couple of times, they, speaking of his bride, is not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And then he gets very specific and says, here's what I'm praying for my bride. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I say tonight, Jesus is interested in more than our joy. Thank God he is. And thank God he's interested in our protection, but it's deeper than that tonight. He is praying for the sanctification of his bride, you and I, his beloved church. A word sanctify means to make holy, to purify, or to consecrate. And in the text, it is the result of one's relationship to that of the Word of God, the Word of Truth. And so we're learning from Jesus how to pray in our marriage. Amen. What do we learn here tonight? And we ought to be praying for one another's holiness. We ought to be praying that each of us would be purified and consecrated and set apart through a relationship to the Word of God. I think about that tonight in our prayers sometimes. Can be so shallow and there's nothing wrong with it. I just preached on it, but can be geared toward the earthly realm or something that is temporal or physical. But tonight, consider the fact that we should be praying for one another spiritually. Amen. One another sanctification. Amen. And oh, nobody knows how sanctified. Amen, that I really am in need of becoming more than my wife. Amen, and no one's more aware of her need of sanctification. Amen, than I, her husband, and don't judge us. Amen, we'll have to talk to your spouse after the service. We know each other's ups and downs. We know one another's, weaknesses and frailties and struggles. And yet there's something about that privilege to be able to get down and pray for our spouse and pray that God would do a work in their life spiritually, and he would grow them and consecrate them and draw them deeper and closer to the Word of Truth in their life so that they can be sanctified. This evening, listen, I don't know of anything more important to pray about for one another in our marriages than to pray for one another's spirituality. Believe that's right tonight. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. Here's what I want to know to you this evening. That if we would pray for your spouse. Here's how I want to word it tonight. Pray for your spouse to be cleaned, to be changed, and to be made right with God's word. Amen. Pray about that. Amen. You say, boy, he or she just really frustrates me. Well, if it's a point of a need of sanctification, amen, pray about that and talk to God about that. And here's what I wrote down, Brother Riley. Amen, praying about it, that will do more than harping and nagging on them to do about it. Amen. And I'm a man. I guess most men are this way, and some women, maybe many women are this way. Maybe it's just a human being thing. Amen. But if Miss Kate tries to, not that she ever would, amen, or ever has, but if she was to try to nag me about something, there's a streak of Ledbetter in me that I got when I, amen, was conceived and born in this world, this stubborn that, amen, if my wife tries to make me do something, I'll bow up. Can I get an amen from other men in the building? Any of y'all want to confess? Amen. And nagging and harping, amen, and trying to force a change because, amen, you want it. I'm telling you, you can get a whole lot farther if you get on your knees and just say, Lord, they're struggling right now with something that's driving me out of my mind. Lord, it ain't right, but would you do a work in that heart and change them and clean them and consecrate them? Amen. Well, I hope this is helping us. Amen. I've known marriages, tried to counsel marriages where they's trying to beat things into one another verbally and trying to guilt one another and nag one another and I can just tell you that don't work. Amen. Praying for their sanctification, pray about it. I noted here in this text, this is pretty good preaching right here. Hang on. Notice how Jesus commits of himself to be sanctified as he prays for his bride to be. He's not just praying for her to be sanctified. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm talking about the perfect Son of God. And this ain't a sanctification from sin, but he's teaching you and I a lesson here tonight. He said in verse number 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Boy, what a lesson, Brother Tim, for us to get a hold of that. And that even our own Savior, in praying for the sanctification of his church, he laid himself down at the feet of the Father, being willing to commit himself to be sanctified himself, have friends so that what he was praying for his bride to be, amen, would be in line with, amen, his own life with that prayer. Many want their spouse to be something, something else, or to make some change in their life that they themselves are not willing to be. I'm not saying tonight Jesus had to make any changes. That's not the point. But there is a lesson to draw out in application. That is, Jesus was willing to be what he was praying his bride would be. Amen. There's a lot of frustrations get brought into home where one is wanting one to be one way and they're fighting about it. One wants one to make a change, but they ain't willing to make any kind of changes in themselves. Amen. But when you go praying about the sanctification of your bride or your husband, be willing to lay yourself down to be sanctified by the Father's hand. That's pretty good preaching tonight. Amen. Consider with me tonight. Amen. Only got two more. Amen. The last one I ain't even going to preach. But notice with me, he prayed for the joy of his bride. He prayed for the protection of his bride. He prayed for the sanctification of his bride. He prayed for the unity of his bride. Amen. Jesus spends time praying and desiring, listen to this, desiring oneness between himself, his bride, and his Father. And you got to have all three to have unity. You'd say, well, me and my wife could just get on the same page. That doesn't bring unity in a Christian home. Amen. Unity in a Christian home involves, amen, ourselves and our spouse along with being unified to the Father. And Jesus said in verse 21 that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, then they also may be one in us. Do you see that picture tonight? that in the Lord's prayer for his bride, praying for her unity. Amen. I want to say tonight, unity in a marriage is absolutely vital to that marriage being able to make it. And if you don't have unity and you make it, it'll drive you crazy till the day you die. Amen. Last Sunday night, I preached on the home. And we got home and we was talking about the message, and I think maybe it's at home, I can't remember. We got recalling a couple that was married going back to my first church. I won't call their names, but I remember just being a young preacher and going into that church. They'd invite us to come over. They'd invite us to come over for supper. They was going to feed us one night, and we got there. And Brother Larry, when we walked in, them two just, I'm talking about full-blown screaming and yelling and calling each other ugly names. And I had seen some of that, amen, growing up. My mom and daddy, they'd have some fusses and fight, but I'm telling you, this was like amped up to the 10 millionth degree. I was like, somebody's going to die here today. And they just yelled at each other. And it got so uncomfortable, I thought, man, I want to leave. I don't want to stay in this mess. And that's how I felt, and it wasn't even my home and my marriage. Now, I've thought about that a lot of days. I thought about that a lot of days, how divided they were and how that showed up and all the fussing and fighting and all the turmoil and just no unity, division among them. Who wants to stay in that? Is that right? Amen. Listen, there's a lot of things that we'll face hardship and strife and contention in. And one thing I've tried to determine, Miss Kate's tried to determine, we ain't gonna have that between us. Amen. And we're human beings. We fuss and fight a little while, but sooner or later, you just got to make up your mind. We're going to have to get on the same page and have unity among us. Amen. Sometimes you just got to sit down and pray about that stuff and say, Lord, we need your help, because we can't have it without the Father being involved. I believe that's right. Prayers for unity. If we'll pray for our spouse as Jesus is leading us by example tonight, if we'll pray for unity, listen, prayers for unity can negate all division. If we learn to just say, you know what, I'm not going to fuss and fight about it, and I'm not going to raise my voice, and we're not going to have contention about this, I'm just going to get down and pray that God get us all on the same page with Him. It's amazing what the Lord can begin to do if we make prayers for unity. You say, preacher, me and my spouse, we don't see eye to eye, and it's a big thing, and we just can't seem to come to terms with it. Amen. Maybe you just start praying for your bride's unity with you and the Father, praying for your husband's unity with you and the Father. Maybe that would negate the division. His prayer for unity, listen to this. His prayer for unity in verse number 22, I noted that it involved the glory of God being present between them and them being shared among them. Jesus said about this thing of unity, He said, here in the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. This unity that He's praying for and desiring the Father to give, it centers around the Father bestowing glory on the Son. And then the Son, listen, He does that. He doesn't keep that glory and that honor. Listen, He allows His bride to share. I'm not talking about steal the glory, but He allows her to share in the glory. We as the church, amen, we get to share in the glory of the Lord. Amen. You get in the service and the glory. You talk about the glory of God fall on a service. You know what that is? That's our heavenly husband sharing His glory, letting us have a part in that. And we love it when the glory is around. Is that right? I believe that's right. This evening in marriage, when we're praying for unity between us and our spouse, Remember, it's not about us getting the glory. It's not about us being elevated above one another. It's about the glory of God being present in that home, and then whatever glory He allows to come upon us, being able to share that in that, in those bonds of holy matrimony. Amen. I see men that they want to be the big thing in the marriage, and we're living in a day women want to be the big thing. And I say there'll be no unity till we begin to pray and say, Lord, bring us together to have shared glory at the Father's feet. Amen. That's pretty good preaching. His prayer for unity revolved in the structure of biblical authority, with God the Father being in and over all. Amen. Sometimes, and it's right, when we preach on the home, we deal with the order of authority that ought to be in the home, and we run the verses. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. She's to be in subjection and submission, and we run to all kinds of places, and there is a biblical authority that is worked out. That's got to be right for you and I to have unity, but really, it's not about the husband being the big shot. It's about the Father being in and over all that marriage. That's what Jesus prayed concerning Himself, and He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He said, Father, here's what I need You to do. Amen. You are in Me, and they are in Me. And let me get it right. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. And the idea is just simply this, amen, this unity that He's praying for, amen, comes with the biblical authority, with God being the headship of the home. Amen. I believe with all my heart the husband's the, amen, in some sense is the priest of the home, the leader of the home. And there's a way all that works down and works out and comes together for good if we'll do it God's way. But at the end of the day, a man may be the head of his home and still not have unity till God is the head of it. I believe that's right. I think that's right. So in that prayer for unity, maybe we ought to be praying, Lord, You be the one that's the dominant figure. You be the one calling the shots. You be the one we both look to. And if we both look to the one who's the head over all, then we can have unity one with another. He prayed for the unity of His bride. Last of all, I won't preach it all the way out, but He prayed for the sense of love for His bride. He prayed for the sense of love for His bride. I think probably most of us have heard tale of the man who had been married a long time, and he was one of these hard hearts that never told his wife that he loved her, and years and years and years went by. And she asked him about it one day, do you still love me? And he said, yeah, I love you. She said, well, you never tell me. You never tell me that you love me. And he looked at her. And we had a guy at my first church. He must have heard this and he liked it and he lived by it. But that old man, he said, well, I told you I loved you when we got married. If I ever changed my mind, I'll let you know. And I'm going to tell you something. That ain't no way to go through a marriage. And I understand a lot of men maybe didn't grow up hearing I love you, and if you didn't have that, I'm sorry. But it's still right to tell your wife you love her. I tell my wife, I don't know how many times a day, I love you. We get up in the morning, and amen, we'll kiss each other right on the mouth with bad breath and all. I say, I love you this morning. Amen. And before I leave, I say, love you. I'm out of here. Here's where I'm going, what I'm doing. I love you. When I come back home, first thing I'll do, I love you. Good to see you. You say, man, you say I love you that many times a day. Oh, it's more than that. And you count up texts and phone calls and, amen, every opportunity we ought to get. You say, why you do that? Because I want her to have the sense and the reality there's something in my heart that loves her. Man, and I'll be honest, I go back to my early days of being married. I was a foolish husband. and did a lot of things probably made my wife wonder if I ever did love her. I hope I'm doing better about it after 27 years, is that right? Something like that, 20-something years. I get it right some days, and then other days I can't remember. I hope I've got better about it. You know what one of my prayers is? Here, I said I wasn't going to preach it. Just let me throw it out. Here's what he prayed for you and I, his bride, Brother Larry's church, Brother Bob, was this. Lord, here's my desire, Father, that they would know you love them and that they would know I love them. You ever pray that for your spouse? Lord, let my wife or let my husband know the reality of your love in their life today. There's wisdom in what I'm preaching. Y'all ain't shouting and I'm not screaming, but there's wisdom in what I'm preaching. You ever prayed for your spouse to say, Lord, would you work in my life and in my spouse's heart so they know beyond a shadow of a doubt when the sun goes down today that I love them. Amen. You'd be amazed how many people wind up in divorce and they make these statements. Well, I just fell out of love with him. I fell out of love with her. I never felt love. And it's as simple if it's a Christian home and marriage to be able to get down on our knees and have the privilege to say, I want the sense of love to be granted to the life and heart and spirit of this one I'm married to. Amen. Jesus' prayer for his bride. I hope that's a challenge to us tonight. I know it's a different way. I ain't never read it. I ain't ever heard nobody else preach John 17 that way. I hope, Brother Mike, I didn't take a sacred text and do any damage to it. I know it's very practical tonight. God knows our marriages in America is in trouble. Marriages in our churches are in trouble. Amen. And I think prayer is the key to success in any spiritual endeavor. If we pray more for one another in our homes, may be amazed how things could turn around. And I know some of you've been praying for years. You got a spouse that's lost, or you got a spouse maybe says they're saved and they don't live like it and they're hard to live with. And I know it can get frustrating. You think, man, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. Preacher, you don't know how many times I've prayed. Here's what I'm going to tell you tonight. You just keep on praying best you can. And I know it gets tiring and weary, but it'd always be right to keep on praying. Amen. Long as there's breath to breathe and God's on the throne, prayer can still turn things around. I believe that's right. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. Lord, I pray tonight as we've took maybe a different viewpoint of John 17. Lord, our hearts are encouraged to know Jesus prayed for us. Lord, this enduring prayer, this prayer that has endured all these centuries and millenniums now, that Lord, it's effective tonight. What a prayer he prayed. Think about the fact that Jesus prayed for his bride, Lord, is a challenge to my heart. And I pray it be picked up by the church tonight and these families that are here. Lord, we'd spend more time praying for one another than we do nagging or fussing or feuding or upset at one another. Lord, it's hard to be mad at somebody when you're praying for them. And so, Lord, I ask you this evening, burn that in the homes of our church. Lord, I pray this evening you'd be glorified in that. Lord, all that you do, we sure thank you and bless you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.